Let's all stand. Praise God. Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. I like it when the master shows up, but like my pastor says, I like it when he stays. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 4, and verse number 18, and we are preaching a series of messages on being delivered from being a hostage. Amen. Being a hostage no longer. And today we're going to talk about another subject that may have us a hostage, perhaps even today. But what the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says that Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance." That means to be restored or released from bondage. To preach deliverance to who? To the captives, the prisoners of war, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Of course, our main focus is here about to preach deliverance to the captives. What has you a captive? What has you a hostage this morning? And we're going to talk today about being a hostage to bitterness. Being a hostage to bitterness. Father, I pray today for help. I pray, God, for your Holy Ghost to help me to preach the word of God. I pray, God, that you guide my speech and my actions, my tongue, and all that I say and all that I do. I pray, God, that you let me be that vessel that you can use without hesitation, that vessel you can use, Lord, without having a fight with me. But perhaps because I've surrendered, Father, that you can use me as you will. And I pray that same prayer for all my brothers and my sisters that are gathered here this morning, as well as those who are watching right now and will watch later. But I pray, God, that each of us will die to ourselves and say, wait a minute, the only way to have true, genuine Holy Ghost victory is to follow Jesus all the way. Follow his words and follow his command. Follow his teachings and follow his directions, and then receive the great victory that comes along with that. And that, Father, will shout hallelujah. Then I pray, God, specifically, if there's any one of us from the pulpit all the way to the back that's dealing with bitterness, perhaps we don't even have a clue that we are, but yet it will be revealed to us today. But I pray, God, that based upon what you'll show us, we'll have not only the remedy, but also take it and then receive the victory. God, help us. Of course, there's one among us who's not saved, blood bought, and born again. I pray, God, this and that day they receive Jesus as Lord, Savior, and King. And for that, God, will thank you. And Master, if I lift anything out, yes, sir, meet that great need as well. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, no, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. May be seated. Being a hostage to bitterness. Now, probably on the onset, we'll probably say, well, I know a lot of folks that's got some bitterness. I know a lot of people that are filled with bitterness, that are hostage to bitterness. But you might be surprised to find out that we ourselves may be a hostage to bitterness. Look with me over to Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 15. Hebrews 12 and look at verse number 15. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 verse 15, the writer here, I believe to be Paul, writes and says this. Verse 14, follow peace. That's good. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Here we go. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any, watch out. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That word bitterness here means this. It means especially poison. It also means sharp to the taste or smell. It means an irritation to the eyes. I said, wow. When something is bitter, the Bible says here in this verse, it's like poison. Poison kills, but also it's like this. It's sharp to the taste. When you taste it, it's bitter. It has a bitter taste to it. But also it says here, the smell, when you smell it, it smells bitter. But then here's one. It's an irritation to the eyes. And I said, my soul, is it not true that when we find ourselves in bitterness around somebody that is bitter, it's amazing how it affects our eyes. If you are experiencing bitterness, it irritates or affects your vision. It's hard to see straight when you are wrapped up or you a hostage to bitterness. It's hard, my dear friends, to taste anything good if you are a hostage to bitterness. As I began to look a little bit deeper, I began to study that a little bit more. I'm like, what are some of the causes of bitterness? Well, the causes of bitterness are the feelings of hurt, resentment, anger, and even hate that builds up in our hearts when we have been hurt, watch this now, by another person or experience in life. So it could be a hurt by another person or perhaps an experience in life itself that may cause us to become a hostage to bitterness. Preacher, what are you talking about? You and I may be experiencing bitterness and have no idea that's what the real problem is. That's the root cause or the root reason that we respond, but we act the way that we do. I began to look a little bit deeper. It says there's three ways generally that causes bitterness. Watch this. Number one, by what is done to us. Number two, by what is said about us. Number three, by what is taken from us. I thought, wow. Let's look at it. By what is done to us. When someone does something to us or hurts us in a certain way, it can cause us to become bitter. When somebody has said something about us that's not true, or maybe it is true, but they said some things they were not supposed to tell, but it got up around, or whatever the case might be, it may cause you to become bitter. And then that third one was this, by what is taken from us. Something has been taken from you. I mean, you lost it. Perhaps it could be the loss of a child that may cause you to become bitter. Or perhaps the loss of a job that may cause you to become bitter. Or perhaps, my friends, a loss of a house or some material thing or whatever it might be that might cause us to become bitter. And when you and I become bitter, there's going to be some problems. And I think we see this in verse 15, which is the process of bitterness. The Bible says in verse 15, looking diligently or beware and inspecting, lest any man fail of the grace of God. But here's the point, folks, we want to focus on. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Number one, the process, it springs up. Now, the word spring up here in this verse means to be born, to swell up, or to grow. But notice the Bible calls it the root of bitterness. That word root, my dear friends, that word root here means that which springs from a root or an offspring. But it starts in the surface, under the ground. You can't see it. You go ahead and chop down that tree. Watch it grow back again. Because you're going to have to pull it up by the root. And what happens, my friends, is when you and I are wounded or when you and I are hurt, somebody says something to us that has affected us, my friends, it's in the heart. It's underground. And what's happening, my friends, is beginning to grow. Nobody can see it. You can't even see it. But yet it's there. It begins to grow. It begins to fester. And then the Bible says this, my friends, as it begins to grow, something happens, my friends. Watch this. The Bible says this root of bitterness springing up. By the way, the word springing up means coming to the top. In other words, it starts under the surface, but now it's coming to the top. I thought about my grandmother. She loved a cup of coffee. But she would always tell us, now, when you fill the cup of coffee up, make sure you fill it to the brim, it runs over. And so we have to make sure that we fill it all the way up, it run over the cup and fall into the saucer. She always wanted it right there. She's from Alabama. She always wanted it right there in that saucer. But that's what bitterness does. It starts in the bottom of the cup. And then it begins to grow and grow. And then it spills over, my dear friends. And then what happens is something happens. What? Trouble. So we see it starts on the ground. But watch this. Then the Bible says in the next part of the verse, springing up trouble who? You. That word trouble here means to crowd. It also means to annoy. It means a disturbance. In other words, my friend, this bitterness that started on the inside is now materialized and now it is crowding you, it is troubling you, it's affecting you personally. And you may not even realize it. That's why I'm angry. That's why I'm mad. Because there's bitterness, there's poison, there's something inside of me because of what happened to me that's caused me to become bitter. And now I'm reacting a certain way, but now it's troubling me. It's crowding me. And by the way, when you're crowded, can't you get nothing else in there? When we went to Grenada, they call them buses, but they're like little vans. To me, they seat about 9 to 10 people, but they get about 25 to 30 in there. And I'm talking, they're narrow. And by the way, these are buses that they use for transportation, like we have our regular buses. So can you imagine all of us sitting like y'all sitting, but you don't know him? Think about what I'm saying. That's how they are. Everybody's up in there. I remember one time we was picking up folks. We was all headed to the church, and it was about 6 people on the road walking, and so we got picked up folks up. I'm like, where they going? What are these folks going to get at? And they got him in there, and they said this too. They had the little accent thing going on. They said the big people in the front and little people in the back, you know, because we go up the mountains. And that thing will hang down low. And you ain't got no rails. And the people look like ants down there. And you're looking at them, they're going across them roads. I mean, it's craziness. It's craziness. But when it's crowded, and it's so crowded that you can't get nobody else in there, my friends, that's not a good thing. Well, sometimes when you and I are filled with bitterness, bitterness crowds our minds. It crowds our hearts. And guess what? Can't nothing else get in. Can't no love get in there. How's love going to get in there when it's crowded with bitterness? Matter of fact, my dear friends, what has happened is this bitterness has almost put a shield around your heart so that nothing can get in there because of this bitterness. And it's troubling you, but it doesn't stop with you. It doesn't stop with me. The Bible shows us next, my dear friends, there's a process. It springs up, it troubles you, and watch this. And thereby many be what? Defiled. Now we see, my friends, it defiles other people. The word defile here means this. It means to pollute. It means to contaminate. It means to taint. It means to stain. Wow. In other words, when I've got bitterness, my friends, not only has it consumed me, not only has it crowded me, but now everybody around me is going to be affected. They're going to be contaminated. It's almost like a person who has the measles or has something of that nature, chicken pox, something like that. Some folks say, oh, don't get around there. I don't want to get contaminated. But you know what? There's some things that you can have. Don't nobody know you got it. And you get around them, and they get contaminated. What are we talking about, preacher? Sometimes you and I may be consumed with bitterness. We get around some other folks. They have no idea we're consumed with bitterness. They have no idea. But then we start rubbing off on them. Then that's the next thing, they're like, man, why? I just bad taste in my mouth. My bitterness is rubbing off on them. It's not like we go to work. I mean, you can go to work happy as could be. You know exactly where I'm going. And you get to work with somebody and they're bitter about the job. And you got to work with them, and here they go. They're talking about the job. The job, I hate this place, blah, 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 blah. And you listen to them go, I hate this place too. Before you even got there, you were thanking God, get me a job. Now you're like, man, I hate this place too. What's happened? It just spread. The bitterness has spread. My dear friends, when you and I are consumed with bitterness, it not only affects us personally, but it also contaminates all those who are around us. But by the same token, if you got some love going on, won't we contaminate folks with love? Let's spread that. Let's rub that off on some folks. You know how it is sometimes when somebody opens the door for you and you kind of run in the gas station and you behind them and they'll hold the door. Go ahead. And you go, oh, I appreciate that. Next thing you know, when you get ready to leave out, you hold it open for somebody else. But let somebody slam the door in your face. The next thing you know, somebody behind you, I don't care about them either. You know? It spreads. It spreads. And the Bible teaches us, hey, he said, watch out now. Watch out lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many other folks are contaminated. They are polluted, my dear friends. They are tainted because of the bitterness that you and I are suffering with ourselves. So, preacher, I'm all jacked up now with bitterness. How are you going to help me? Well, I'm going to do like my doctor did me. I went to the doctor. What day was that? You want me? Wednesday. I went Wednesday. And I went Wednesday. And, you know, it was it Wednesday? Wednesday was a little bad. It started snowing then it was kind of bad. We had to fight through traffic and all that kind of stuff. We get there. And they check my blood pressure, you know. And my blood pressure was 165 over 100. It was 100. And I said, oh, because of that traffic. And then, you know, a little stress there. You know? No, but seriously, I went there because I knew that I needed to do something about my blood pressure medicine. Because it's running higher than when it's supposed to be. You know, that runs higher than what's supposed to be there. But anyhow, so what they did was they said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to give you, we're going to update, increase. That's the word I'm looking for. I knew upgrade didn't sound right. Increase. We're going to increase your HCT. That's the one that my grandmother called the water pill. What the water pill make you do? Go to the bathroom. She said, now we're going to double the dose. So you're going to probably have to go more than normal. I'm like, you know, it's all good. I mean, I'm like, that never makes you really go anyway. Next thing I know, I'm like, man, I go to the bathroom. Next thing I go to the bathroom. You know, so if I stop preaching, I have to go to the bathroom, y'all understand. But nonetheless, though. Now, what happened was this. I told them my problem. And when I told them my problem, they have given me a remedy. Now it's been going down. I think yesterday was one, I think it was 138 over, I think it was 88 or something like that. So it's going down. It's going to take a little time, but it's going down. Now, it's the same thing with us. If we realize we have a problem or we have some bitterness, we need to take it to somebody that can do something about it. Amen. And that person, of course, is Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see the process of bitterness. Now look at the freeing from bitterness. Look, the Bible says in James 3 and verse 14. Number one, don't boast about it. You'll see what I'm saying in a few moments. Look at James 3 and verse 14. The Bible says in James 3 verse number 14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, what does it say? Glory not. That word there means don't boast about that. And lie not against the truth and don't lie about it. Don't boast and don't lie. Now, we said, no, nobody's going to boast on bitterness. You'll be surprised. So when you boast on your bitterness, you're telling people how much you hate somebody. Man, I despise. I don't like them. That's bitterness is probably what's going on. I mean, every time you talk to them, it's always about this stuff. Listen, you get around somebody and talk to them long enough, you'll know what is crowding their hearts. Because you can't help it. We read that little verse a few moments ago. There's another verse that says, from out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever your heart is full of, that's what's going to come out. Okay? So what happens, my dear friends, is this. Hey, number one, don't boast about it, but also don't lie about it. Don't act like you don't have it, amen? But then also do something else. Do this. Number two is confess that it's a what? Sin. Well, I deserve to be bitter. Well, you don't understand, priest. They hurt me. They wounded me. I understand. Listen, there's not one person in this room, except for a little baby, and they might have some issues too, that has not been hurt at some point in time. I'm talking about hurt to the core. I'm talking about deep, deep-seated hurt. But watch what the Bible says. Look at me over to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 31. Ephesians 4 and look at verse number 31. Look what the Bible says here. We need to confess, my friends, this is a sin. This ain't no good. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. The Bible says this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be rejoiced. Oh, I'm sorry. Be put away from you with all malice. The bitterness is listed with wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. And the Bible says, put it away from you. Don't let it be there with you with all malice. Get rid of it. Bitterness, my friends, is a sin. Bitterness is commanded by us to be gotten rid of. Don't keep bitterness. Don't hold on to bitterness. Many of you heard the story before, and those situations took place. But we had somebody in the church that had bitterness, and they would walk around with the pictures to show what had taken place many, many years ago. And I mean, it was bad stuff. It was devastating stuff, and I understood it. But they carried those pictures around as a reminder of what had happened, as a reminder of how they were hurt by those who were the closest to them, of those that had the same DNA that ran through their veins. But they had bitterness. And I would tell them, you need to forgive. And others would tell them, you need to forgive. But you understand, this is, I want you to see, here the pictures are. I want you to see what took place. I want you to see what happened. He said, preacher, I ain't got no pictures. Are you sure? You might not have a physical picture, but you may have one up here. Huh? I mean, when you think about that person, when you think about that situation, my dear friends, and it reminds you and you keep it right there so you remember how you were hurt and how you were wounded. My dear friends, the enemy wants us to hold on to that bitterness. But God says, put it away. Right. Put it away. Shut up. And recognize, my dear friends, that it is sin. Amen. The next thing we need to do, we recognize the sin. The third thing we need to do is confess it, confess we have it and be forgiven. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. This is a familiar verse. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. This is a helping verse, a freeing verse. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, if the Bible says we confess, we acknowledge, we see it like God sees it. If we confess our sins, whatever those sins may be, the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God scrubs us down and washes us. That's once we have what? Confessed it. Acknowledge that there might be bitterness. Acknowledge that it's a sin. Confess it to God. Say, God, I don't want this bitterness. I don't want this inside of me. I don't want to poison anyone else. I don't want to crowd my life where nothing in there can get in good that wants to help me because I'm crowded by bitterness. I don't want it. There are times, if you and I are sincere, or be honest rather, we like to hold on to certain hurts. Somebody says something funny. You want to laugh, but you're not going to laugh. I'm mad. That's hanging on to it, you know. And that person, you know that was funny. No, I'm mad at you. You let it fester. That thing will grow, and it will grow, and it will tear you apart. You say, okay, preacher, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to acknowledge it, that it's sin. I'm going to confess it to God. God's going to forgive me, and he's going to wash me real good. Woo, I'm free. Hold on. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Some of y'all thought I was going to leave that verse out. Nada. Look what he says in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Well, let's read verse 31 together. Well, let's read verse 30. We might as well read verse 29. I wonder. Let's go ahead and do 26. All right. I ain't going to see some of y'all the next Sunday. So hold on. Let's get this thing out here. Verse 26. Be ye angry. Somebody says, woo, glory. Wait a minute. And sin not, the Bible says. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place, don't give a spot, don't give a room, don't give an opportunity for the devil to work. My dear friends, when you and I have bitterness, we're allowing the devil to have room to work, an opportunity to work. The Bible goes on, I'm about to have a Holy Ghost spell. The Bible says this, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give. What? You reading that right, preacher? Yeah. Don't read it again. I got to. With his hands, the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Wow. I'm going to keep it all for himself. All right. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. Oh. To the use of what? Not tearing down. They may minister grace unto the hearers. Hey, what's coming out your mouth? Does it build up or does it tear down? My. But they hurt me. They wounded me. Does it build up or does it tear down? But they deserve to be torn down. Does it build up or does it tear down? The Bible says, don't do it. And then say verse 3, ooh, maybe this is a problem. Why are we having this problem? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. My friends, these things grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Here it is. And be ye kind. Okay. One to another. That's all right. Tenderhearted. Compassionate. Whoa, whoa. There's a bad word. Forgiving. Oh, I can receive that. No, this ain't about receiving here. One another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, have what? Forgiven you. Wow. Ain't that jacked up? God has forgiven them. Forgiving them. And the word forgiving here means to pardon. So that don't mean they weren't guilty. The word means to pardon. It means to grant as a favor. If I give you a favor, it's not because you deserved it. I'm just giving you a favor. The Bible says for us to forgive one another. Now watch out. If I'm going to forgive somebody, that must mean they've done something to hurt me or something that would require forgiveness. It's easy to say I love you when you ain't hurt me. It's easy for me to shake your hand when everything's all right. But what if he been dogging me out and talking about me? And I see him. He want to shake my hand like that. You ever had somebody shake your hand like that? I've had that before. It's like, I started to grab him, grip. Oh, he going to stay right here. No, but... Well, wait a minute. Forgiving one another. Even as Christ has forgiven us. He forgave us. So who are we, my dear friends, not to forgive somebody else? But preacher, I can't. I know you can't. But you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. He gives us strength that we have, my friends, and ought to forgive like you and I need to forgive. Amen. We can't do it our own power. The devil come by and tell you, and me, they don't deserve to be forgiven. They hurt you really bad. What they said wasn't right. What they said was hurtful. It was harmful. What they did was no good. And guess what? He's right. He's right. He's exactly right. But the Bible says, forgive. Because if you and I don't forgive, we're a hostage. That's going to hold you back. And when you're a hostage, come for a minute, Brett. When you're a hostage, what happens is this, my friend. Come on for a minute, Mike. When you're a hostage, come on, buddy, stand right here, okay, right in front of him, and grab a hold of him. And he can't get free. Mike, come here, Mike. See, come here, come here. Don't you want to go forward in life? But no, he can't go forward because something's holding him back. Someone has him captive. No matter how bad he wants to go forward, no matter how many tears he may shed, my friends, he cannot go forward because there's something that needs to be released in his life. There's some grip that needs to be broken. By the way, he doesn't have the power to do it. He don't. Mike's too little, man. And Keith might get free, but Mike's too little. He needs somebody else to help him. Somebody bigger, badder. Why y'all laughing? Just set him free. And we have God the Father who knows how to set us free. Amen. He says, call me and I will answer. I'm about to have, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. He said, just call me. Amen. Mike, I want you to call out and say, help me. Say, help me.
Help.
Say, help.
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 Man, come by, free him, and take off running, man. Come on back, buddy. We're fine, man. Thank you. The question is this. The question is this. Do you want to remain a hostage? You don't have to. You don't have to. Preach is hard. Not with God's power. Because the Bible says with him, nothing's impossible. See, it only becomes hard when I'm trying to do it myself. And there's many times I've been trying to do it myself, and it just still stays right there with me. But so I said, God, you got to take this. I can't do nothing with this. I can't do nothing with this. And Lord, unless you take it away, unless you free me, then I'm going to be bound by this. When I go back to over 25, 26 years ago, or when I had with cocaine and alcohol, all that stuff had me a hostage. All that stuff had a hold on me. But I would pray, God, take away that desire. Take away that desire. And God took away that desire. Amen. And then God brought people in my life to help me to go in the right direction. But you know what? I wanted to. I wanted. There are folks in this room right now who've been held hostage by something. But when you cried to God for help, he helped you. I got two questions. We're done. First question is this. Has life caused you to become bitter? Has life caused you to become bitter? The second question is this. Do you feel, this is key here. Do you feel bitterness growing? In other words, it's not manifested itself outwardly yet, but you can feel it growing. You can tell just by your reactions, by your taste buds. Things life don't taste the same like it used to. You feel it growing. If that be the case, let's simply do this. Let's talk, this is good here, to our Father about this. Let's talk to our Father about this. What's that this, preacher? Whatever that this is in your life. He says, call me and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. That's the hotline number to call. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I've tried my best to share the word of God that you've shared and helped me with. Lord, I had bitterness about certain things. I didn't even know I had bitterness about it. But you showed that to me, and I want to thank you for that, Lord. Thank you so much. And now, Father, I continuously ask you to help me to overcome that bitterness in my life in that particular area. And I pray that same thing for my brothers and my sisters that are here this morning. I pray and ask God that you'd help us, those who are watching, that you help us. And God, that some folks need to come and talk to you about some matters, some things in their hearts and their minds. And maybe it has nothing to do with the message at all, whatsoever. But you've been talking about other issues. I pray, God, they bring them to the throne of grace, that they may receive the grace in their time of need, receive that help in their time of need. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. And then, God, perhaps there's somebody here that's being nudged to pray for someone that they know that's close to them, that they love dearly. And they just recognize that person they love and care for is really in the grips of bitterness. And they want to pray for them. They want to intercede on their behalf, like the Bible teaches. I pray, God, they come and intercede for that person. And then, God, there's one that's here today. So you know what? I can't get any help whatsoever because I realized this morning that I don't know Jesus is my Savior. And they want to be born again, birthed into the family of God, receive Christ as their Savior. I pray, God, they come. And, Father, they want me to pray with them or to show them or someone else they have confidence in. It will be our privilege to show them from the Word of God how to be born again. Father, whatever the needs are, help us to respond. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all.